This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
And horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Top story of the day. South Carolina's win over Iowa a couple of days ago in the women's national championship game had a preliminary audience average, according to ESPN, of 18.7 million on ABC and ESPN. The only sporting events in the United States to draw a bigger TV audience since 2019 have been football, the World Cup, and the Olympics. This was lightning in a bottle for women's college basketball. And they're saying, too, the audience numbers are expected to increase when Nielsen releases its final numbers later today, and maybe they have. I haven't seen it. But right now we're seeing 18.7. You talked about this one, I think. The most watched basketball game since 2019. It was the 2019 was a men's title game, NCAA title game, Virginia and Texas Tech. That averaged 19.6 million on CBS. I don't know what UConn and Purdue's going to register, Angel, but I'm guessing not that. That thing was, like I said, it was over by halftime. So, you know, people that were tuning in, this is the average, I would believe, the average throughout the game is 18.7. So clearly that's going to drop. How many people came back at the half for UNC or UConn and Purdue, but they weren't there for very long. If they didn't have a dog in the fight, they weren't sticking with it for very long.
No, it's historic. It's impressive to see. We've talked about the growth in the last 2 years of women's college basketball. And now it's, okay, you want to be up in the ratings with the Olympics and football. You're a part of sports now. Can you keep it up?
Here's my question. Who's next? Can you name, and I'm not, this isn't like, not, I'm not putting it to you. Can you name the next big star for college women's basketball?
Maybe Haley Van Lith.
Yeah, and maybe. She's transferring, right?
But her transfer story might turn people off.
Might.
You're not loyal to a school. You keep bouncing around. And is there another one that could show up? You know, I think Paige Beckers of UConn had a great story with her injury and then coming back.
Well, look at you go.
Yeah, and then it was at Cameron Brink out of Stanford. She's an impressive athlete. She's like 7'2", wild. And then obviously Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese are the two big names.
How close are they to those two as far as popularity go?
They're in the top probably six most popular, I'd say.
But is it like Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and then way down there, there's the next best, next most popular?
I would put
popular.
Paige Beckers up there, right. Those two.
Well, then that's who they need to get behind. That's who we've got to see a lot more of. And you got to quit eating your own. Did you see this story? According to 247sports.com, is it Kelsey Plum? Kelsey Plum? She plays for the Aces.
I believe it's Plum.
And I know who she is. I've seen her. Just always mess up the name. Here's what she had to say. She said, on Caitlin Clark, reality is coming. And another player said, Diana Taurasi said, reality will come. Like, what's going on here? Clark is projected, obviously, to be the number one pick in next week's WNBA draft as ticket sales have soared ahead of her anticipated summer debut. So she's going to be the biggest thing in the WNBA.
Yes.
There's zero question. She's actually taking a step down. It is what it is, man. She's taking a step down when you're looking at popularity. Plum, we're agreeing.
Yes.
You know why I don't shoot logo threes? She says, because Asia Wilson's on the block. That's what she was doing, specifically talking about Clark and her quick trigger. Rebecca Lobo said Clark isn't in the GOAT conversation because she never won a title with the Hawkeyes. That's what we're doing in college now? No, that's not what we're doing in college. You get four, what did she play, 4 years? You don't win a title in 4 years, you're not a GOAT? That's not accurate.
Her records would say otherwise. Her popularity would speak for itself.
That player went on, Rebecca Lobo went on to say, for me, she's the best offensive player that I've ever seen, at least in the last 30 years that I've been either playing or calling women's college basketball. Lobo said on ESPN, when you get into the GOAT conversation, does she need to win a national championship to be considered the GOAT? I don't think so. I think she needs to win multiple national championships to be in that kind of conversation. So now for college, you got 4 years. You got to win half the time you're there. You got to win a national championship half the time you're there.
Well, Calipari didn't do that.
The greatest players in college sports have it. How many championships did Tim Tebow win? Didn't he win the one?
He won one. He went to two, but
isn't he who's considered the greatest college football player of all time? Is Tebow it?
Tebow's up there. Cam Newton, Joe Burrow. Bryce Young.
And Joe Burrow won one. Did he win one?
Yeah. Caleb Williams. I wouldn't go there, but some would say. Johnny Manziel for some.
I don't think I don't think the championship thing works for college sports.
No, it's way more of a team thing.
It's more of a team thing. You're not there for that long. I mean, Tom Brady won a championship early, but how many GOATs didn't win until later? Peyton Manning didn't win a Super Bowl until what? Wasn't he in the league for 10 plus years before he won his first Super Bowl, or maybe it was seven or something like that?
Well, and you know, for college, it's just not the same. Like, A.J. McCarron won two championships at Alabama. He's in the UFL. Lighten it up, but that's where he is.
Yeah, so they go on to talk about the multiple championships thing. When you look at the history of the game, Candace Parker won two championships at Tennessee. Diana Taurasi won three championships at UConn.
Okay, well, those are two blue blood women's college basketball programs.
Everybody wins at UConn. Brianna Stewart won four championships. Not only won four championships, she was the most outstanding performer in the Final Fours. Caitlin's an incredible player. She's done more in terms of bringing attention and eyeballs to the women's game than any player we've ever seen. That's a mere fact. But when you want to talk about the GOAT conversation, you add championships to the mix. You have to understand the history of the game.
Who did Brianna Stewart play for?
She didn't play. Did she play for UConn?
She did.
Yeah, she played for UConn too. I mean, they all win championships at UConn.
Did Steph Curry win a championship at Davidson?
Yes, he did. Didn't he?
Did he?
No. He went. They went on a hell of a run.
They did.
How far did they go though? Maybe they didn't win. I thought he won a national championship. No, maybe not. But this is a ridiculous argument, and I'm not sitting here pretending that I follow women's college basketball closely so I can make these comparisons. I can't do that. But I can say with the numbers, the records, the point record she has, all of that stuff, Angel, that speaks for itself. The popularity thing's one thing. I mean, you can be really good for the game and not be the best player in the game, and I get that. But she also has the scoring record. This is like, I get it. You're trying to be analytical. You're trying to have takes, and I understand that. And that's the good thing about what's happening in women's college basketball is people are talking and having heated discussions about it, about her. This is what happens in sports. We have heated discussions. Nikola Jokic, how many heated discussions have I had about Joker being the MVP? And then you watch ESPN and they're ridiculous takes. They just make ridiculous takes. So congratulations, women's basketball. You have arrived to the world where ridiculous takes will be thrown out there. Is she the greatest basketball player of all time when it comes to women's? I'm not educated enough to tell you. But I do not think that winning a title should or should not make that point.
No, and it's tearing down a future star of your league before they even get going is like, yeah, there are Wemby detractors out there like, ah, I don't know about this kid, whatever. But you can't deny that he's going to be the future of the NBA. He's already been pushed into that position.
And when you hear people talk about Wemby, I mean, the talking heads are one thing, but when you hear players talk, I don't think there's anybody that's critical. You have WNBA players that are being critical of Caitlin Clark. She's going to wake up calls coming. Like, they might think it, they might say it, but how many times do you go ask to the stars of the NBA? Kevin Durant, LeBron James, they might not give you a ringing endorsement. They're not going to put anybody down. If I go to them and say, hey, what do you guys think of Zach Edey? Odds are they're going to be like, hey, he's a very, very good player. Did a lot of great things with Purdue. Excited to see what he can do at this level. They typically leave it at that. And if they don't, it's a big breaking news story the next day.
Oh, and it's the WNBA isn't a league that can afford to do that to your stars. You're, you know, struggling as it is. You have a hand up from the NBA every single year because of your finances. You can't do this to a woman that's going to come in
so stupid.
And bring new fans to the WNBA.
What's Ice Cube offering her to do?
Like $5 million.
To do what?
To do his big 3-on-3 league.
Just go do that stuff. You're better off doing that stuff than the WNBA. Sorry. I'm just going to say it. Your league is not good. We don't talk. When does their season start? I never know. They announced their championship game, and I'm like, when did it start? And I'm, again, some of you listening are freaking out. You're sexist, whatever. No, it's boring. I'm not into it. I was into the South Carolina-Iowa game. That was pretty fun.
And it's not the way that NCAA women's has been marketed in the last 2 years has gone away from the, oh, if you don't watch, you're sexist.
Right.
It's watch this stuff because it's entertaining.
Watch this stud. This is Caitlin Clark. I don't need to. One of the WNBA ads is like, watch me work. What? It looks like work sometimes. You know, don't stop trying to separate yourself and say, oh, we're women and this is blah, 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 blah. No. Just promote as if you are a sport that exists in the world. That's what college basketball did for the last 2 years. Love it or hate it. Here's Caitlin Clark. Here's Angel Reese. See what you need to watch this. You never know what might happen here. I'm going to say something really controversial. You know what it reminds me of? City of Greeley. Were you here when they did the Greeley Unexpected campaign? And I'm not knocking you guys. I love all of you people. You're great people.
Possibly.
But it was like a bunch of billboards and stuff and ads that were like, hey, we have great restaurants here. Bet you didn't expect that. So for me, it was like weird because it's almost like your view of how people view Greeley, you think that they think this place sucks. And then, oh, but we have restaurants. It's unexpected. You know, we have restaurants. Like, that was weird to me. That feels like the WNBA's marketing campaign. Is we have girls that can dunk. Bet you didn't expect that. We can score. We can get in fight. No, just promote it just like we saw with Caitlin Clark.
No, don't promote it in the sense of if you don't watch, you're the bad guy. But promote it in, as you said, like it's just a sport. Yeah, your marketing budget's probably not as great as the NBA. Work with what you got.
Yeah.
Use players like Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese that'll be in the league next year and promote them as this is the emergence or reemergence of the WNBA.
The best, the biggest star. Stop acting like you don't need her. Stop acting like you don't need her. That's this whole idea of, no, she's good, but she ain't seen nothing yet. No, maybe she doesn't succeed at the WNBA. I don't know. I would guess she will. But own it right now. Capitalize on it. You are doing the opposite of what the NCAA did with Caitlin Clark. Mysterio says she's the all-time points leader for men and women. She's got to be close to the top. Exactly. I mean, like I said, I don't know. I can't compare a lot because I really just started watching off and on a couple of games this year, and then I watched the national championship game last year. I've watched CSU a couple of times. I've watched UNC games. I don't watch a lot of women's basketball.
Oh, and the whole college championship thing, like, Calipari won one title in Kentucky in 15 years. And he is still regarded as one of the best coaches in college basketball.
Because it's so hard to get it. Why do you think Tad Boyle doesn't have pressure? It's one thing to get into the tournament. It's another thing to actually live up to expectations and win it all. It's difficult to do that. That's why what UConn did was so great. Dixon says not all stay all 4 years, especially in men's sports. Yeah, you can't use the same. Why have we thrown logic? When's the last time you've heard a discussion about, well, they're not the best college football player because they didn't win a lot of championships? We never use that. What's the knock on Caleb Williams, that he didn't win a national championship? No, I don't think anybody's bringing that up. That's not the discussion here. Same with Michael Penix Jr.
Shedeur Sanders had 4 wins in his first year in
Colorado.
And
he's supposed to be a number one pick next year. He's not going to be in the GOAT territory, but you are what you are. It's not about championships at this level. Not at college. Yeah, it's great to win them, and it'd be awesome, but that shouldn't come into the conversation of GOAT. I suppose if you have two players that are similar and their stats are the exact same, then you might go, well, this one won a title and the other one didn't, if they're the exact same. But she holds the record. So, and watch her play. Mysterio said there's a kid from Oklahoma State that is considered a great, that got second at the national title 5 times in wrestling. Yeah, wrestling's different, probably. Is wrestling different? Wrestling's probably different.
Yeah.
You got to win titles.
That's more individual.
Yeah, I would say, but that's just me. I guess he got second place. He got second at the national title 5 times. That's pretty phenomenal. You made it to the championship 5 times.
Well, I mean,
it's like the Bills, though. The Bills aren't considered the greatest team of all time.
Bryce Young is probably one of the better college quarterbacks ever. He didn't win a title.
Yeah, right. It's just a silly argument. But again, it's all like, oh, she's going to get a wake-up call. Who says that? Like, you don't hear that from the NBA. You don't hear that from the NFL. You see guys like, let's go, we just got this stud, and we're going to be great. You don't see any of that stuff. Like, how many NFL...
You hear some of it like, oh, the game's going to change for you. Yeah, because it's a different level of competition.
Yeah, you hear that.
But is the WNBA a different higher or lower level than college women's college basketball that we've seen this year?
No, you should be... No, you're right.
As you said, it's kind of a step down.
It is. And instead of trying to use her to elevate, you got envious people right now. And you got the jealousy factors coming in. And it's, oh, she's getting ready to get a wake-up call. Dude, you got a golden goose. You got a ticket coming to your league. Embrace it. Throw your arms around her. And then, you know what? Go beat her blank on whenever they play. Go beat her.
Oh, we were doing this stuff already for years and you didn't pay attention. Sorry. It's Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese's stuff that happened 2 years ago that got the attention.
Use that. Use Caitlin Clark and Angel. Is Angel Reese going, by the way?
Yes.
She is. Yeah. Use those two girls. Don't bash them. Don't put them down. Say none of that's going to fly in the WNBA. You're in the big leagues now. Come on. Shut. I almost cussed. Apparently Calipari just released a video, Angel.
Uh-oh.
Can you find it? Let's see what he had to say. He's wearing blue.
Message to Big Blue Nation.
He's wearing blue.
Making it official, he is leaving Kentucky. He said, quote, "It's been a dream what we've been able to do, but 15 years, it's time for another voice, and you know I'm always going to be a fan." Ouch.
Well, is that just another voice thing? It bothers you? You don't like Calipari.
I respect him, but it kind of feels like, man, 15 years with Kentucky, and it's just, yeah, see ya.
He was only there. I thought he was there longer than that. Feels like he was there longer than that. But he's wearing blue, Angel. That should make Kentuckians feel better. Kentuckians. Yeah. Turduckens. Kind of like that. I have a question for you.
I mean, how does Arkansas feel seeing him wear blue?
I was thinking the same thing. Is it groundbreaking? Is the video worth playing?
No, it's like 3 minutes long.
We're good. I have a question. Serious one.
Oh, sorry. One quote here. The last few weeks, we've come to realize that this program probably needs to hear another voice, and the fans need to hear another voice.
It's the fans' fault. I have no issue with him leaving. You see it all the time. He's just catching a lot of strays because he's popular.
Flipping the bird on the way out.
Yeah, well, I do think it's weird he's wearing blue in the video. He was wearing blue yesterday when he's walking his dog, Angel. Or he was walking. He was literally
walking
his dog.
A stroller with his dog.
Well, that's isn't that what Portnoy does now? He does that with his. He got a dog. I think she's like
just
a
walk your dog.
She's a rescue dog,
what do you
though.
Need a stroller for?
Well, I think she has bad hips. Portnoy's thing. Oh. I don't know about this dog. Could have that. Okay, let me get to my question. One shining moment. Yeah, or no? You like it? Good with this tradition? Yes. Reading Rainbow. Oh, wait. Mmm. So good. Oh, here we go. Let's go. Mmm. Bumping. Bumping. This gets me pumped to go to the draft. To the NBA draft.
Love it.
You do.
Yeah. It's nostalgic. It's
Keep it going. You don't have to worry about cussing or anything.
It reminds me of... I don't think there's cussing in the song.
No.
It reminds me of like an old PBS special.
It reminds me of Reading Rainbow. I feel like I'm getting ready. I'm sitting down. I'm 8 years old. I'm eating cereal. And it's daytime TV. And it's like, you know, none of the good cartoons are on, but I got to watch Reading Rainbow. I got home from preschool or whatever. Here I am.
It's recapping the last month of college basketball.
But in the corniest way possible.
It's great. We don't do enough of this. They've basically gotten rid of the, hey, you just won the Super Bowl. What are you going to do next? We're going to Disney World. They don't even do it anymore.
Did you know that this was originally going to be for the Super Bowl? They used it once for the Super Bowl, right? Mm-hmm. And then they came to... But he wrote it for basketball.
Yeah, the ball is tipped was the ball is kicked.
So he changed it. Because he tells the story, David Barrett is his name, he tells the story that he was at a bar and his waitress just comes up to him and he just goes off about how beautiful basketball is. And they were like, how did that come up? He's like, I just started telling. So as I'm talking, I'm hearing it. And then she leaves and I write down one shining moment and there we go. And then the NFL comes to him and they're like, hey, let's use that for the Super Bowl. So did he edit it, or is he not telling the truth? Was this written for football first?
I think it was, he had it. They said, let's use it for football. It didn't catch. So he said, okay, well, we'll use it for basketball, and it's great.
Well, it's just interesting because they apparently asked him if it was okay to use it for basketball. So in that story, it made it sound like he changed it back to, or he edited it to basketball. But he tells the story that it was written for college basketball. That was the whole idea, that it was written for that. So is that true? Did he really write it at a bar?
It's great.
You what?
I think it's great.
You just love the...
I love the cheesy, sad, nostalgic PBS Kids type of feel to it.
Yeah, I mean, that's... I'm not going to be the guy that's like, get rid of it, but... Somebody tweeted it last night. I was like, you know, I don't really love it. You know, the team just stands there and watches the video of all the highlights. The Buffs were on there. One of their highlights from their Florida win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's something that it's just like the cherry on top of March Madness.
I guess.
I didn't used to really care about it, but I watched their video this morning. I'm like, that's cool. Cool wrap up the end of the college sports season. I know... Softball and all that still going on, but good. It's one shining moment.
I do enjoy, you know, corny stuff, like sappy, goofy, over the top, whatever. And in the 80s, this was probably considered epic.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but now it's just kind of like, yeah, it's that kind of weird song that's kind of weird, goofy and corny. And
it's like the Masters almost. We'll have the Masters this weekend. It's that... This is the traditional Masters and the piano playing and the birds.
Oh, yeah.
Live from Augusta National.
Yeah, it has all that. It has all the right feel. First Advantage text. I don't know if I'm in or out. I'm not going to be the guy that votes it out, though. It's weird to me that we keep it going, but I kind of agree that it's so bad it's good. at this stage. So you got to leave it in. But it's weird after that game and then it pops up and now you just go stay there and watch it.
They should only sell it on like a VHS tape.
It's one of the
feel.
Is it one of the better traditions in sports? I always forget about it until it happens. And I'm like, oh yeah, they do that thing. I always forget about it.
I wouldn't know how to rank them, but it's up there.
Dixon's going back to the conversation on women's sports. Sorry to say it, but for most to check into women's sports, there has to be the potential for some drama like trash talk between Clark and Reese or someone that is just on another level like Clark. Correct, but isn't that the same thing for golf?
I'd say that for all sports.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
Atlanta,
you got to have stars.
Play Charlotte tonight in basketball and probably aren't going to watch it unless you're a fan of those teams, but if there's beef between Trae Young and Lonzo Ball or LaMelo Ball.
Stars make the game, I guess. It's true. You know, obviously, you know, football, we don't know what it's like without them, without superstars. There's just superstars. But you know, and the Super Bowl's bigger when stars are in it. If it's two teams that you're kind of like, I don't really have that person just yet, then it's kind of more boring. You know, when Philadelphia went, when Carson Wentz got hurt, that hurt, even though they had a really good team, their defense was great, but it was Nick Foles. Carson Wentz was the story on the offense, but then they go and they win it. So whatever, but it is the story. Big Hub says, will Angel Reese get drafted?
Probably.
I would think so.
He's mocked to be like top five.
Yeah, I would imagine. Again, embrace both of those women. Bring them in. Help elevate them more instead of like, oh, you got a lot to learn here. Maybe do that in practice and stuff, but let's not do it outwardly right now. You have a chance
to embrace a not restart, but a kind of like, hey, this is the new WNBA. We got these five superstars.
It's like did you ever watch that debate between Candace Parker and Shaq?
I don't think so.
I think it was before a college women's game. It was a couple years ago. And Shaq said, hey, I have a suggestion for the WNBA that would make it the ratings go. Candace Parker rolled her eyes and she started getting, you know, she was offended. And Shaq goes, well, do you think that it'd be a good idea to lower the rim so that they could dunk more, so that more players are dunking it? She rolled her eyes, said, no, my daughter's going to be dunking it. And it's like, great. I think I did a story on this once or a segment on this. How many women in history have been able to slam dunk the basketball in the WNBA? It's a handful, dude. It's not a lot.
No, and that's not all that the NBA offers.
No.
But when you see Aaron Gordon fly in the air and slam a dunk, it's like, that's awesome.
What do you rewind for? You know, last night there was a play, Edie missed it, but a guard came in and swooped in, kind of almost did a windmill type dunk. And I was like, whoa. I looked over at my wife. I was like, check this out. No, it's not the end-all be-all, but that's part of it. Dunking is part of it. They have a slam-a-dunk contest at the All-Star break. So, but my point is, Candace Parker, instead of having the dialogue, she just got defensive and got really mad that Shaq even brought that up. Like, how dare you? No, recognize your weaknesses and grow. That's what every sport does, but the WNBA doesn't want to do that. So they just want to go, why aren't you watching? Well, would you lower the rims? No, that's sexist. Okay, see you later. I'm going to go over here now because you guys seem angry. Some of them.
Oh, and the NFL, they make changes every year. Oh, their field goals are too easy. Let's narrow the goalposts and push them back 5 yards.
Quarterbacks are
getting
roughed up.
Oh, we're not getting any kickoffs. Let's completely change the kickoff thing.
Every sport does it. Every sport. But the WNBA, you make suggestions and it's like, wow. And now you get superstars to their league, and all we're going to try to do is put them down. Maybe you don't think she's the GOAT, whatever, but enough of this crap of, you know, reality checks coming for Caitlin Clark. You can't survive in this league by shooting threes because you got to give it to the big girl in the paint. So leave that to the coach to knock, all right? 34 after the hour. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. On Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Good morning, No Delco with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint. Weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
I just have a couple of thoughts on this, and then we'll move on the Clark thing, the eating of their own. Did you see former record holder Lynette Woodard, what she said? I think Iowa invited her to an event, and she was speaking about the record, Angel. And I don't know if you have it, but when you do, let me know, and we'll play it for you. She was speaking about Caitlin Clark and the record and everything. She had something interesting to say, and then Lisa Blutter, the Iowa coach, Blutter, she had something to say about it, too. So let's play Lynette Woodard's response here when she was speaking about the record.
I am a hidden figure, but no longer now. My record was hidden from everyone for 43 years. I don't think, I'll just go ahead and get the elephant out of the room. I don't think my record has been broken because you can't duplicate what you're not duplicating. And so unless you come with a men's basketball and a two-point shot, hey, you know.
Iowa's coach said something similar. She said that was the record. She said it with Caitlin Clark right next to her, saying that they don't recognize stats. They didn't recognize all that stuff prior to 1982 because Lynette Woodard held the record in AIAW. That was her record then. But she didn't want to acknowledge that Caitlin Clark broke the real, like the NCAA record. But this is my whole thing. You know, about the Nuggets and, oh, their record for wins in a season was 63 because they were in the ABA. And back when, you know, they played against the Milwaukee or the Cincinnati trash cans or whatever. Those weren't NBA teams that they were playing against. And I don't know the history of the AIAW, but there's a reason why the NCAA is recognizing Caitlin Clark for holding the record because of the league and whatnot. This is just another example, dude, of college basketball, the women's side of things, eating their own, going after. Does Alex English get up and say, you know, no, we were the record holders? I don't think he was on the air. David Thompson. Does he say, you know, did the Nuggets greats come out and say, no, the best basketball we had was back in the 80s? No. Alex English is the first one to tell you Nikola Jokic is the best to ever do it for the Denver Nuggets. Do more of that. Find a way to do more of that. I mean, it's just infuriating to me. So silly. All right, let's take a quick break. Let's jump out real fast and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Miles Blumhardt, sports editor at the Fort Collins, Coloradoan, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
The MVP race is still pretty tight right now, Angel. Nikola Jokic is still leading, at least according to NBA.com and the Kia MVP ladder. This was as of April 5th, though. But it's not like Joker's done anything to hurt him. I mean, they lost the Clippers, but he had 36 points, 17 points, and 10 assists in that game. And then he had a triple-double the other night against Atlanta. Didn't even play, you know, really in the fourth. Luka's next, though. Luka is hot on his trail. He is averaging almost 34 points per game, 9.2 rebounds per game, 9 assists per game. Joker is beating him in one category. Well, I guess two, if you want to go wins and losses. But he's beating him in rebounds per game. He's at 12.4, so he is not averaging the triple-double, but he's close. He's averaging 9 assists per game, 26.5 points per game. So the numbers would tell you that Luka is better. He's averaging, I mean, he's almost averaging a triple-double. 34 points per game, 9 rebounds per game, 9.8 assists per game. It's going to be the numbers, but it's all, isn't it also, don't you take into account the wins? You know, how good of a team are you? And if we're saying MVP, take Luka off, are the Mavericks a playoff team?
They might be a play-in team.
Yeah. Kyrie's still pretty damn good last time I checked.
Yep.
And you have one of the... Kyrie's a top 10 player in the league right now.
Yep.
Fair? Jamal Murray is not a top 10 player in the league. Aaron Gordon's not a top 10 player in the league. Michael Porter Jr. is not a top 10 player in the league. So if we're going to go with what the actual award means, take Luka or take Joker off the Nuggets, I maintain that this is not a play-in team. I don't think they're a play-in team if you take Joker off. If you take Luka off, I think you could still see the Mavericks find ways to win games. So it's going to be Nikola Jokic, right? I mean, we have to. I mean, there's 4 games left. What's going to change? He's probably only going to play 2, maybe, depending on what happens tonight with Minnesota and the Nuggets in their game against the Jazz. But I would imagine it's done, right? Or are we seriously going to take 4 games to figure this out?
I don't think it's going to take 4 games. I think it'll take 2. I think if Jokic has a good performance, a great performance against Minnesota, and you lock up the 1 seed, I think that pretty much does it.
The numbers are there, though, for Luka. So don't you think, if you really believe the MVP thing, it has to be record? And what's life like without that player? And I think that it's pretty obvious that it's Joker, I think. Now, again, the numbers are better for Luka. Shea is not, I think it's over now with Shea. I mean, he's averaging 30 points per game, but he's 5 rebounds per game and 6 assists per game. No, he's out. Then it's Giannis, who's averaging 30 points per game, 11 rebounds per game, 6.5 assists per game. But again, you have to look at the standing or the standings and everything. I think that is something that a lot of people, they get caught up in the individual stats, and that's what they want to make this thing about. It's, if you're that valuable, then why aren't you winning? You know, Milwaukee is 47-31. They are second in the East. The Dallas Mavericks are 48-30. They are 5th in the West. Denver obviously is tied at number 1 in the Western Conference at 54-24. So it's a slim margin, man. But if we're going to be close and the stats are there, it's, you got to look at, okay, how valuable are you? Well, you're the best team in the West and you're the most valuable. You go from a 1 seed to, in my opinion, Houston Rockets territory, 38 wins, and you're out of the playoffs. I truly believe the Nuggets, 82 games without Nikola Jokic, would not yield a playoff berth.
Is it easy to say it's recency bias? The Thunder are 5-5 in their last 10. Mavericks are 9-1.
Yeah, the Mavs are getting hot.
SGA has fallen off.
Yep.
Not, or just the team itself is probably fallen right where they could be, where they should be. And the Mavericks are the hottest team in the NBA, so
part of it, yeah,
we need to pick a challenger for Jokic.
I think
we have to find any excuse to not pick him for a third time.
I honestly think that he is, Luka's more worthy of the MVP than Shea at this point, because his numbers would tell you that, and the fact that the Mavs are making a run. They're only 5 games behind the Thunder. That's a thin margin there. You could make the argument, but I think it's close enough where, you know, OKC's 53-25. Dallas is 48-30. OKC has some really good players, too, outside of Shea. So a lot of young and upcoming guys. I just think that, yeah, that one you could flip a coin. I don't know if it's a, hey, we got to get a better challenger in there for Joker. I think you could flip a coin right now between Shea and Luka, but Luka's numbers are just better. Most of them are better than Joker's.
Well, when the Nuggets beat the Mavs 2-1 in their series this
season. That also counts for something. I think he's going to win this thing.
And the only reason they lost that third one because of Kyrie's magician shot.
Yeah. Well, that's Kyrie.
Right.
That beat him, you know? Big night tonight, though, in the NBA. And a big night for Joker if he's going to go get another MVP. Did you see that Joel Embiid said he's glad he's not in the race this year?
Nah.
Too toxic?
Or was that 12 months ago?
He said it was too toxic. dude, part of that toxicity came from you complaining about it and working up the NBA fan base and the media, saying that, you know, vouching for it all the time. It's ridiculous.
It wasn't toxic when you were complaining for three seasons.
Right.
It wasn't toxic when we were called racist for picking Jokic or stat padding.
It was more toxic around Joker because the media was awful to it, you know, as far as their approach around him. Big night tonight, though. Minnesota plays Washington. Denver plays Utah. OKC plays the Kings. Thunder could lose tonight and be out of this race. Nuggets got to win tonight. I mean, again, if we're talking one seed and it's that important, got to beat the Jazz tonight. And they're all listed as, like, probable tonight?
Yes. Everybody's probable. Malone talked about he wants this team to be focused on the Utah game and don't look ahead to Minnesota. Because if you don't win against Utah, the Minnesota game doesn't matter.
Yeah. 12:51 the time, Angel. We got a break. Let's talk more about that. We'll get into I want to talk Colorado State and Jay Norvell, the pressure cooker for Coach Norvell, especially if this is primetime's final year. Take advantage of the gift that keeps on giving when it comes to media down in Boulder. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Keep it tuned to Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for Preps Baseball.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
We got buy or sell coming up in a few minutes. Get into a few interesting topics there. Also want to talk about Jay Norvell and Colorado State. You know, talking to Keeler today from the Denver Post, it makes me think, yeah, this could be the final year for Coach Prime. So with CSU, you know, obviously Jay's not winning rivalry games. You know, he hasn't beat Wyoming. He hasn't beat Air Force yet. He hasn't beat Colorado, obviously. What a time to be able to do that next year. With the media attention that's going to surround that game, maybe it's the final shot you have at beating primetime. I mean, this could be the sweetest chance. If you beat CU this year, ask any Rams fan, would this be the sweetest win ever? The sweetest rivalry win in the history of Colorado State? I'm going to ask that on Twitter, and I'm going to see what you guys say. All right, in the final hour of the show, I want to get into that story. I want to talk more about the Buffs, too, in primetime. Like, what does it actually mean? Is he really going to go? Is this his last year? Is all the evidence stacking up here that would lead you to think that he will coach in the NFL? When we didn't think that was even close to possible when he first took the job. All that and more coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.